today speaking with my good friend Chuck Dybel. Chuck is an industry expert in the liquor industry, and Chuck is a CPA and master distributor. Is that what you call it, Chuck, for Devon?
Well, I'm a regional master franchisee, and then I also operate a franchise territory in Columbus, Ohio.
Okay. Chuck, and you've been doing these liquor audits for how many years now?
20 years, Rick.
20 years, yeah. So, obviously, you've seen just about everything there is to see. Would you not agree?
I think so. Yes, I've done inventories for Jacobs Field, bowling alleys, regular bars, restaurants, golf courses, nightclubs, strip bars, gentlemen's clubs.
Pretty much everything. You've seen the whole cross section of who sells liquor, there's no. And I suppose it's probably the common thread. There is a common thread that joins it all, I would suppose, right?
Yes, there is. In terms of, well, in the common thread in terms of what would you say?
Well, I suppose this issue of Design Buzz, we're talking about how bar owners can be so unaware of the money they're losing.
Oh. Okay.
And I suppose you as much as anybody has seen this just repeatedly to the point where you just have to, you know, it probably is bewildering, I suppose. And I talk about everybody has this place they go to in their hometown where they know the owner's a shrewd guy, he's successful, drives nice cars. He may not even spend a lot of time at his own place. I'm sure you've seen that, and I've seen it. But
right.
for even in spite of that, even if he did, the owner can't be. It's just impossible to keep your hands over everything. But the thing that people may not realize is just how profitable liquor is. And I use a simple example just of. A bottle of Welvac, and this is the stuff that they generally use when they pour shots. And so they're buying a quart-sized bottle, right, for about $6.85 a bottle?
A quart size?
That's somewhere a liter. A liter, yeah, it's about
six,
the same thing.
$7.
So they're selling, say, an ounce and a quarter shot for, say, $3.50. Which seems to be probably a kind of a universal price in the Midwest anyway, and we're both Midwesterners. The funny thing about the whole thing is that serving, that 1.25-ounce shot that they sell at the bar, is costing him, his net cost is about 27 cents.
Right.
And he's selling it for $3.50. So, you know, and then of course he sells multi-portion cocktails and batches of margaritas and daiquiris and you name it, you know, frozen drinks. And so it's very easy to see how making money, if you even own a bar and a restaurant, the money is all made in the bar, and I think there's no secret about that.
Right.
But it's so staggering that I suppose the thing that hits you is that, you know, the guy's walking around pretty proud of himself. He has a really well-cultivated business, and it seems to be almost like running on its own. But what he's not realizing is what? What have you seen? What's the common thing you've seen among 85% of bar owners over your 20 years? What's the one thing they're missing? How much would you say they're missing on average on shrinkage?
Yeah, well, that's the common theme is for about 90% of the bars and restaurants out there, they're missing a lot more money, inventory, sales, however you want to phrase it, than they realize. And the average is about
20%. Yeah, 20%.
If their sales were, $10,000, they're probably missing about $2,000.
Yeah, say $2,000 a week, and that's times 52 weeks.
Yeah, times 52 weeks. So it's over $100,000 a year. So if the bar's doing $500,000 a year, they're missing about $100,000.
Yeah. And, of course, I suppose, you know, you probably, and I know I've experienced this with people in the adult nightclub industry. I think, what's the most common reaction you get to an owner, from an owner, when you tell him that's on average, that's what he's losing? What's his first comment to you?
Well, they think, I'm doing pretty good, and they usually refer back to their current financial statements, their cost of goods sold percentage, which is otherwise known as liquor cost percentage or pork cost percentage. And it just depends on who you're talking to in the country and where they are. Those are the general phrases for that percentage.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll cite some number. They'll say, oh, I'm hitting, 25-26%. That's pretty good, isn't it? And I'll ask it like that. And it's all kind of relative. And, well, it could be pretty good, and they'll basically refer back that they think they're doing fine, and they're looking at their financial statements either weekly or monthly, and their numbers. This is the way they're phrasing it. They're saying, "Oh, we're hitting where we expect it to be," and then
you get
kind
the
of look
form,
at them.
Pro forma.
Yeah, I'll kind of look at them, and they'll say, "Well, we try and run a 25% cost, and that's where we're at." And I'll say, "Well, where did you come up with 25%?" And they'll say, one of several things, and of course it depends on who you're talking to, but they'll say something like, "Well, that's what we budget. That's what we try and hit because that's what's a good number." Or they'll say, "Well, when we did our financials for the year, or we budgeted out, we want to, that's what we'd like to hit, and we're hitting it." Or they'll say something like, "Well, that's what we hit last month, or that's what we hit last month this year at this time, so we're hitting it again, so we're fine." So in some way, they're and then how they're calculating their 25%, I've had people just take their purchases for the month and divide that by their sales with no sort of understanding as to what their beginning or ending inventory is. They'll just literally take their purchases for the month, which is not correct at all. But mostly that's it. They just refer to some number. But, Rick, what I never hear them say, I've maybe heard 10 people say this in 20 years, and I've talked to probably over 500 owners, 600 owners, I don't know, a lot. And I never heard them say this. "Well, you know what we did? We programmed the software program for our cost, and we ran our product mix for the past week, and it gave us a number of 26.7%, and then we compared that to our actual cost percentage, which we calculated by taking an inventory, where we took beginning plus purchases minus ending, and we got our cost, and we divided that by our sales, and that was our actual cost of goods sold percentage, and we compared that to our ideal cost of goods sold percentage, which the software program calculated for us because we had it tell us what our product mix and our ideal costs were for that same period." I've never heard anybody tell me that.
And well,
that's what they'd have to tell me. That's what they would have to tell me.
Yeah.
To be able to tell me that they know what their cost should be. I've
well,
never heard anybody
to convince you that they understand what they're talking about, in other words.
Yeah.
And, ironically enough, I suppose if someone were to say that, my first thought would be they probably came from the gaming industry, because the gaming industry has got it all figured out. Those guys, they're controlling, they sell so much liquor that they have to basically really stay on top of it because that's it's so profitable for them.
Right.
And they're real business people, and they have the idea that, of course, there is other, it's not just a simple comparing this month's sales to last month's sales. Because,
right.
Even it would be one thing if the local bar owner served all he served was raw vodka, because he could pretty well monitor that. But the problem is he doesn't, because all local bars sell everything they sell, and because obviously, you know, there's a lot of money in mixed drinks and especially certain types of liquor. And as you have commented on your column that you write, and so the problem is that they can't really understand. There's no way for them to really fully measure from one period to the next, from one month to the next, just how many, you know, how many Long Island iced teas did they sell, how many, and what was the, you know, what went into them, what went into every drink basically that he made, and every batch that he made, because that's another whole other issue, the batches, and so on. So without really knowing fully what went into every single drink they poured, there's no way for them to know through their product mix, because their product mix is going to change from 1 month to the next. 1 month they may run happy hour specials, more of them than another period. So, right, it's all over the board. So he's not. But, you know, the one thing is, as we all know, is we've been in these places and watched the success of the owner, and you also happen to know the bartenders in there, and you can see what they're doing. You know what they're doing. They're giving away free drinks. They're doing it to boost their own tips. And so, you know, you sit there and you wonder to yourself, how can this guy, who's so shrewd, how could he not know this is going on? But that's the whole problem, right?
Right.
That's because the bartenders know it. They know he can't possibly figure out all the liquor he's selling in all these drinks. It's just humanly impossible. Well, that is, unless he's got a system.
Well, they have a POS system, and they might have all the menu items in there or the drinks they're making.
Right.
But the problem is they're not running a product mix, and they're not using a software program that has each drink mix programmed to how much liquor is being poured in each drink. You could do it manually, but it would be basically impossible. Well, it would be impossible to do it manually. But it would
be formidable. If they did it on a spreadsheet and the guy was really sharp, he might be able to do it.
Time. You could do it manually. Anytime you can program a software program, obviously you can do it manually. It's just how long it would take.
Correct. Yeah.
You know, it's just, but they're not recalculating their product mix. I had one client or one owner that told me that they calculated what their cost of goods sold percentage, their pour cost would be on every drink that they sold, on each different drink they sold, like a Long Island and a margarita, so on. And then they took that cost percentage for each drink and they averaged it out, and they got the average as if they had sold one of each.
Yeah.
Well, okay. And then, but the problem is they didn't sell one of each. And what the one thing you haven't said, which is one of the big factors here, is, but you've implied it, they just don't sell well vodka. Well vodka might have a cost of goods sold percentage of 5 or 7 or 8%, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also selling these other products like Absolut vodka, which might have a cost of goods sold percentage of 20%.
Yep.
And then they're selling Grey Goose, which might have a percentage of 25 or 30%.
Yeah.
The problem is in the bar business, everything's marked up at different percentages.
Yeah.
And in some parts of the country, you have happy hour pricing or you have specials. So now you have the same item that costs the same, but you're selling it at two or three different prices. So at each price point, it has a different percentage. And then in some states, because I know you cover all different states, you have variable costs. In some states, like Illinois and Indiana, you get a price break if you buy more of something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in states like Ohio, you don't get a price break.
Mm-hmm.
So in states like Indiana and Illinois, which are, I'd say about 60% of the states, you get some sort of a price break.
Yep.
That means, you know, if I buy a case of Jägermeister, they might throw in three bottles for free. Well,
sure.
Now my costs are even changing.
Correct.
So depending on how many bottles I buy in a given week, And whether I sell the product on special or a happy hour or not, or how many they buy at happy hour or regular price, my cost of goods sold percentage is really, it's all over the board. And so for a person to think that they can predict in their mind that they should run a 25% or whatever arbitrary number they come up with, it's just not right. You can't do it. You can't predict that. You have to do the mathematical calculation of actually taking your cost for each item that was sold, how many were sold, multiply that times the number of times it was sold, and then that'll give you what your cost should be. And you divide that by your sales that you actually got, and that'll be your ideal cost percentage. And then you compare that to your actual. That's how you do it. It's very simply said, but to calculate it, you've got to have a software program. And there's a lot of good ones out there. Some are better than others, but that's how you have to do it. And when owners don't do that, they have literally no idea how much they're missing, and that's the disconnect. And that goes back to your earlier point. Their market percentage is so high, they're making a lot of money anyways, and to miss 20%, you know, when your market percentage is over 1,000% on some of those liquor products, you know, whether or not you've got $800 or $1,000, you can't really tell. And that's the overriding big disconnect. So people just don't think they're missing anything. And if you don't think anything's wrong, you the old proverb is, if it isn't broke, you don't fix it. So, kind of what happens.
Yeah, that's true. And then, of course, then the bartenders, everybody knows, and they know that what's going on. They know the breaks that he's getting, the volume discounting and all that. And then, you know, that there's just no physical way that this fellow, and especially over a period of time, they've basically made themselves silent partners with him, and he's not even aware of it. And that's why, even though the owner may be shrewd, he can't possibly have all that insight.
You mentioned silent partners. Did I ever tell you the story about the bar that had two registers? Did I ever tell you that one?
No, you may have. Go ahead. Yeah, I think people may have heard that.
Well, we were trying to get a client, and we did what we call a discovery audit, where we go in and take the inventory, and then we come back a week later, take the inventory, and then we calculate what their ideal costs are, compare them to their actual, calculate their ideal sales, compare those to their actual sales, et cetera, et cetera. And we did that for a week, and we showed this one bar missing about 50%. 50% of their sales, 50% of their inventory was gone and not accounted for.
In one week.
And I've seen that a couple times, but not quite like this, Rick. And then during the whole week, the guy was thinking about using us to do his inventory analysis, but he also hired a mystery shopping spotting service. And normally when you have a spotting service, Rick, the spotters will go in for about 2 hours, maybe just one day, maybe 2 days, and they'll usually find who's overpouring and giving stuff away, and they'll write a report up and give it to the owner. But the owner wanted to leave no stone unturned. So he had these guys come in 7 days, and they came in for like 8 hours and just sat up, and they came in different groups so it didn't look suspicious. And they sat at the bar, two people at a time, and they sat there and watched. And when they gave their report, the first thing they said was, they commented on our report, and they said, there's no way that this bar is missing 50%. You guys obviously don't know what you're doing. You know, obviously there's something wrong with your software program. Because I sat there with my own two eyes, and you know, they may have given away two or three drinks and overpoured a little bit. I saw maybe 5 or 7 instances, they said, of overpouring. But they were going to the registers, ringing everything up. We could tell they were not hitting the no-sale button. They were ringing everything up. There's no way they're missing 50%. The guy went on to say, I've done this 15 years, and I've seen better bars, but certainly they're not missing 50%, maybe 5%. And the owner's listening to all this. He's taking it in. And he said, there's one thing I wanted to ask you, though. You said both registered. I said, what do you mean by both registered? And he said, well, there was a register at each end of the bar, and they were using them. And the owner said, well, I don't have two registers. And the guy said, well, you did. I mean, they were using both registers on Friday and Saturday night. And, you know, you're busier nights. You were really busy, and so they used two registers. The owner said again, shaking his head, no, you don't understand. I have never had two registers. Then all of a sudden, there's this big silence in the room for about, I don't know, 15 seconds. And then I said something to the effect of, well, I guess maybe there was another register you didn't know about. And everybody kind of got it. And so what had happened was the managers were bringing in a second register on the weekends when the owner wasn't there, and the staff was bringing in all the drinks. And about half of them were being brought in a register that belonged to the managers, who were the quote-unquote silent partners, and that's how they were ripping them off. They've been going on probably for years.
Oh, isn't that something? And, of course, there again, the owner's making, he's still making money in spite of it.
Yeah.
That's the
yeah.
amazing part, you know.
Yeah.
But and this is the problem, too, and as I allude in the column today, that is the one thing that might be difficult, one reason why it might be especially difficult for the owner to monitor losses is because the staff, the bartenders, could be adjusting their threshold to consistently, so he's losing a consistent amount. So even though
yeah.
he could be doing his actual costs and inventory, you know, from week to week, and the numbers are looking kind of similar, but that's already
yeah.
because the silent partner has already cut their part in, and they removed it. So how could he even know it? You know, if they're doing it consistently, it only proves that he's been doing it wrong all along.
Correct.
So
I agree with you. I think and sometimes I don't know if the staff really gets exactly why he isn't figuring it out, but people do what they can get away with.
Sure.
And you know, and I think it happens in some instances sort of innocently. They do a little bit, nobody says anything. They
yep.
do a little bit more, nobody says anything. Then maybe one day it's getting to the point and the owner's liquor cost is getting really high, and he says, you guys need to watch it. And so they watch it for a little bit, and they just tone it back a little bit. So
yeah.
instead of missing 30%, they're missing 20%, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, that's what happened.
Well, you know, and so the way around this, of course, is there's this great service called Bev & Co. And Bev & Co. Provides regular audits, and they do them what I guess I would call it scientifically. Can you elaborate on that?
I'm sorry?
So can you elaborate on how the Bev & Co. service works?
Well, the system or the process is the inventory is taken, and instead of tempting the bottles are weighed on an electronic scale, and everything's tracked and identified and tracked utilizing the UPC code on the back of the bottle.
And how accurate is the weighing? I guess that's the thing we want to know.
A hundredth of an ounce. It's electronic scale.
One hundredth of an ounce. Yeah.
You're right. And we have the tear weight of the bottles in the system, and we base the usage on the specific gravity of the product itself. So we don't really need an accurate empty bottle weight to understand what the variance is, because we're utilizing the specific gravity of the liquor.
Yep.
We also weigh the kegs of beer. We count all of the full bottles as well. And everything's matched up by the UPC code. Then we get
and what about batches? How do you handle batches?
We get the batch recipes from the owner for like margaritas or Long Island or whatever thing they want to call it and make it. And we weigh the batches and we break the batch back down into its original component. And so if they make the batch wrong, it'll show up in the variance. If they overpour, it'll show up. If they, we just break it back down. The batches are supposed to be made a certain way, have a certain percentage of whether it's gin rum or vodka in them or everything.
Mm-hmm.
Just weigh them. Get the batch recipe from the owner.
So your software, basically, once you enter all this information into your software program, that basically calculates everything that's been put in, then, right?
Yes, it calculates how much has been used, because we come back a week later, we take another inventory. Now we have the beginning, we add the purchases in on the quantities, not necessarily the cost. We put the cost in accurately, but we do need the quantities that are purchased. We get that right off the source data, off the invoices, and we subtract the ending inventory, and of course that then gives us how much is used. And we show the usage both in cost, we show the usage in quantities, and we also show the usage, and we convert the usage into what the ideal sales should have been. Because actual usage is the same thing as ideal sales. And that's essentially what the states also do when they do a sales tax audit. They convert the purchases into what the sales should have been, and they compare that to what your sales really were.
Yeah.
But most owners don't do that again. So then that's half the work. Then what we do is we get the sales from the POS system, and we bring in the sales, and we're looking at the menu item report or product mix report. And depending on your POS system, it's called different things, but it's basically a product mix report. And it's on the product mix report, it tells you the revenue that you've received for each menu item, gives you the menu item name, and it gives you the number of times that menu item was sold. And we multiply that menu, the number of times the menu item was sold, by the specific recipe for that menu item. And that would be the quantity of each liquor that's in that menu item. It could be a pitcher of beer, it could be a Long Island, which we break it down into the number of different liquors that are in that drink, or it could be just a shot of Jack Daniel's. It doesn't matter what it is. Our software, we program the drink recipes, and then the software calculates what the actual sales were, what your ideal usage should have been, what the ideal usage from a cost standpoint should have been, and it matches all those ideal numbers up against the actual numbers. And then our software program produces a report that compares everything. It compares the ideal to the actual for usages and quantities and sales and costs, and it gives you how much you're missing. And that information is then provided to the owner, and the owner then can manage with the information. He knows how much he's missing. And that's how we calculate. I've done this probably there's over 350 franchisees in the Bevin Co. system. I'm just one. But over the 20 years, I've probably done this for about 350 different bars personally. And I've only had one or two bars in my entire career where they've been missing less than 5% of their inventory for a week. I've seen it as bad as 60%, and it averages about 20%.
Mm-hmm.
So that means if a bar even has sales of $5,000, they're missing $1,000.
Yeah.
And when people do know how much they're missing, and then they take steps to correct the issues, on average, they're missing less than 2%.
So, in other words, when they're new clients, they're missing on average of 20%, correct?
Correct.
And
yeah.
After how long does it generally take to tighten it down to the point where till they're in the category of 2%?
Anywhere from 2 to 3 weeks to 6 months. It just depends on the owner and what they decide to do about it, and how committed they are. That's what it amounts to. One of the biggest things I hear somewhere in a couple of months, sometimes the person will say, well, this system doesn't work. I'm still losing stuff. And you're obviously counting wrong. And I'll say, no, it's working. I'm counting everything right. The staff just isn't believing you're going to fire them because you haven't yet. I mean, a lot of times the owner's not doing anything, and they think that it's just magically going to correct itself.
Oh.
Well, half the time the staff doesn't really change their behavior because they don't believe the owner's going to do anything.
Well, yeah, of course. They've been there for a long time, and it could
right.
be friends of the family or friends, you know, it could be a lot of things that we have bad culture. And we see this, of course, on Bar Rescue all the time, our favorite show. We see this on Bar Rescue where, you know, John Taffer comes in and you know, cleans house. And then a short period later, there they are doing the same things all over again that he was warning them about. But it's just it's the inability for people to set policy and live by new standards, and so they become victims of their own making, which is what got them there in the first place. So anyway, the you know, your average bar owner can really profit well from a service like this. Bars, restaurants, nightclubs, you name it. And on the average, what's the weekly service charge for an audit? Weekly service average for Bevenco service.
Well, it's based on time. It's based on time. So the larger a bar is, meaning the more inventory they have to count, it just takes longer. Here in Ohio, we average about $195 an audit. We bill out at $65 an hour, so it's about 3 hours. So that's what it averages here in Ohio.
I see. Okay. So in other words, it's fairly nominal. I mean, if you're talking about a place that's, even if it's only selling $5,000 a week, which is a small operation for a bar, and they're losing $1,000 a week as it is, right?
Right.
Right out the window. And it's and so you can go, they can go from losing $1,000 a week to losing $150 a week or $100 a week after selling 5,000, right? And so your service is about just around 200. So for a 200-hour week investment, they can cut their losses from $1,000 to $100. Is that basically
what you're saying?
Yeah. So it's a no-brainer, you might say.
Well, and Rick, there's even a cheaper way they can do it if they want. If they're really committed, we have a version of our prop system that they can use themselves, and they can pay $250 a month and do it themselves and use our entire system and process. So they can use their labor, and, you know, so they can save about $400 a month if they want to.
Yeah, hard to beat that. Yeah, so it's just a matter of being committed to it. So Well, Bevenco has great service, and certainly bar owners, bar and nightclub owners, restaurant owners, anybody who sells liquor in their establishment would be Bevenco is definitely my seal of approval. I can't see how anyone can really operate without it. And thank you for your time, Chuck. And it was really great for you to stop by here at Design Buzz.
Thanks.
And we'll catch you around the next time.
All right. Thanks very much, Rick.
Thank
Have
you,
a great
Chuck.
Day.
You too now.
Okay.
Bye-bye.